Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, season 12, episode 307. I'm Adam Walker.
And I'm Sanjay Parekh. By the way, you said 307 like you're 007 or something like
that. That's because I am, actually. I never told you, but I have a license to thrill. So
I thought you were going to say license to podcast.
I've got a license to podcast. Rhyme with kill, I would say license to podcast, but it doesn't. And so I didn't. But anyway, no, we got a great show for you today. Not quite as many episodes, or not quite as many articles last week, but still some good ones, some great weird and wacky ones. And a tech wreck that I'm just not so sure about yet, but could be truly amazing. The jury's still out on it, if I'm being honest. So coming up at the end, listen, let's dive in. You ready for this?
Let's do this.
A bunch of new stuff. So Netflix to open stores where fans can play, shop, and eat in 2025. So, you know, Netflix responsible for closing down like so many stores, they're going to open one up. That's nice of them to give back.
You know, a thumb in the eye or the spit in the plate would be to open them up in the same exact locations that Blockbusters used to be.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so funny. So funny.
Like, I'm sure there's a map somewhere that shows you the addresses of all those Blockbuster locations. Great. And then for them to start picking those off.
If I was Netflix, I would at the very least go buy like two or three, like just for sure. Like just to have them, you know. Like
isn't there one still open in Alaska or Oregon? That's what
I remember that, but I'm not entirely sure if it's still true. We've reported on it before, or by reported, I mean discussed it at length, but
reported. I like how you made us journalists.
I say that
by saying reported.
Air quotes.
Reported. So,
yeah.
I don't have my press badge.
also related to this. You tagged Netflix is hiking prices again. What's going on with that?
Yeah, they came out with their subscriber numbers. They were good.
Okay.
And then they're like, yeah, we're going to raise prices then. So it's on one of the plans, I think that they, or the two of the plans that they didn't raise prices on before.
Oh, God.
So they're increasing the price by $3 a month to $22.99 starting Wednesday. So that was probably yesterday, I think.
Got it.
And that's on the premium ad-free plan. And then the basic plan is going to $11.99. And then, the others are staying the same. So if you went through a price hike earlier this year, like we did, your price is not changing yet, but
got it.
I'm sure they're funneling that money into paying for the new stores that they're opening.
That's it. That's it for
which
sure.
Which is probably the idea right there.
Fancy food and stuff.
So as you're driving to the new store with all the fancy food and you need some drinking water, there is now a new device that turns hot summer air into drinking water. This is super fascinating. But here's the thing that I think about when I read articles like this. I don't know if you think about this, but we've messed up so much of the environment by doing things, right? And now we're like, we need water. Let's just take it out of the air. Nothing bad can come of that.
What I thought of when I read it was like, you know how like when you're in an airplane, like you get all dried out and like your sinuses are all dried out and gross and stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, so they're going to do this to like entire areas of the earth now. Like this, like it feels like that could have some side effects. That's not like that was my thought, you know. Like,
but you know what?
Be, you know,
it's better to have a dry heat than a humid heat. So, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Feels better, maybe.
Okay. Sure.
I don't know.
All right. Well, speaking of something that might feel better to at least the chosen people, the IRS to offer free, quote, direct file pilot to some taxpayers in 13 states for 2024 tax season. And here's who qualifies. So it's not Georgia. I can tell you that right now. We did not make the cut or the list, and that's okay. But this is for people that don't have, quote, overly complex taxes. I don't know how they define that exactly. I think I might fall into that category. I've got, you know, just a handful of documents, no big deal. So maybe.
So they say it in the article a little bit. It's going to include form W-2 earnings, Social Security income, unemployment income, and interest of $1,500 or less. So it's probably not going to include people that have complex investments or even maybe any investments, at least for right now. And people that are self-employed or contract workers that are filing forms Schedule C are not going to be included now. But it will deal with earned income tax credit, child tax credit, credit for dependents, standard deductions, student loan interest deductions, things like that. So reasonably simple. This is only the first step, so don't get too upset about
it. It's going to get better.
I appreciate the fact that they're doing little baby steps here.
Right.
And not being like, we can do all the things, and then it all falls apart.
Because that went so well with the first iteration of healthcare.gov. So.
Right. Exactly. You know. So we've learned a little bit from that.
Yeah.
And so we'll just take it easy. And that's fine. None of us have had the free thing yet. So don't complain about it that you don't have it. It just got created.
It's okay.
In a couple of years,
calm down.
You'll have it too. Calm down.
You'll be here until
calm down.
All right.
Somebody that's calming down and using recycling almost, like I kind of thought that with this whole article here.
Oh, yeah.
Comcast starts squeezing 2 gigabits per second symmetrical internet speeds through decades-old coaxial cable. So stuff that they've had laying around because they didn't rip it out, which is good. They figured out like, hey.
We don't need no fiber. We're just going to use this old stuff up in here. It's going to work great.
We can, don't call it old, call it recycled.
It's old, dude. The coaxial cable is straight old, man. I'm just telling you right now. It's been around a long time.
I mean, it is. I just put a new coax cable in my house because I'm putting up an antenna in the attic
so that
I can quit paying outrageous amounts of money for live TV over the internet. So
Fair enough.
All about a previous tech wreck of mine, the Tableau. I'm going to be dusting that off and getting that all hooked up.
All right. Well, last one in our little news section here. Amazon will start testing drones that will drop prescriptions on your doorstep. Literally.
Are they your prescriptions or just prescriptions
in
general?
I sure hope they're yours. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe this is the best use of drone delivery. I hadn't really thought of it, but like prescriptions are typically pretty lightweight. And so, it's really good package for a drone to carry and drop off. So
I think we talked about this in previous episodes. There's a startup. They're a well-developed startup now. I think it's called Zipline.
Okay.
That was doing blood deliveries in, I want to say Africa.
I do remember that. Yep.
Which I think is pretty fascinating. It's something that you need right away.
Right.
Immediately.
Blood for transfusions. Let's just be clear about what they're doing. Blood deliveries for the vampires.
Like, this is not in Transylvania. This is not for the vampires.
Yeah.
Okay. There's not like a competing thing for werewolves.
It's like blood bank deliveries.
For medical, not to your house, hospitals.
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to be sure
for medical use.
Out there. That could have
this
been
isn't for like entertainment or anything else like that. But what's not going to be for entertainment is your money, because it's going to be gone when the SEC head is saying financial crash caused by AI is nearly unavoidable. Okay, here's the question I have for you.
Give me the question.
We've talked about this a lot of times.
Yep.
And why are we letting Skynet into the financial system now?
It's just getting worse, man. It's just getting... Well, and he's saying that there's going to be a financial crash because AI is involved in the financial system, and they're all using similar models. And so... He's basically like, what if the learning model screwed up? Because they're all using the same basic learning model. It's like, well, here's an idea. Don't do that. Like, just don't do that. Like, that's like
don't do that.
That's when my kids will come to me, Dad, if I press my thumb here on my face, it hurts. And my response is like, well, just don't do that. Like, that's just don't do that. Like, it's real simple. I feel like that's the answer here too. So
I feel like you missed the Georgia Tech class on figuring out root cause analysis of problems. You're just like, oh, that's the symptom. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. But what if the pain gets worse and it hurts when I don't do this?
Oh, well, just all the time. Different. It's different.
Then we'll deal with it.
It's totally different. Then you go to a doctor. But before that, the answer is don't do that. Just stop.
So here's a funny little side anecdote.
Okay.
They mentioned in this article, I believe, that there actually was a flash crash before from these trading algorithm companies. I don't know when it was. It was a while back.
Okay.
2010. It was a brief flash crash by over $1 trillion, and it immediately rebounded. I had thought back then, I was like, you know what? I should put in buy orders for companies that are huge, like IBM and people like that, and for $1.
Yeah.
And if the stock, even for a nanosecond, crashes that point, and then these algorithms sell at this point, I could scoop up tons of stock, which is worth a ton of money for a buck. And they get the penalty for being big fat dummies. And I make the money on the upside.
Yeah, so, I mean, that could be great.
Yeah. It never actually worked, by the way. And a lot of the systems were like, that price is too low. We're not going to take that order. So
speaking of avoiding Skynet, New York City is ahead of the game. So New York City unveils an, quote, artificial intelligence action plan. Now, apparently, this is the same group of people that also developed the rat action plan, though they're very different action plans. One's for rats and one's for artificial intelligence.
But, why can't they be the same?
I hope they're not. It feels terrifying to me if the rats get some kind of artificial intelligence infusion. But it seems like a bad idea. But that's the website for today: ratartificialintelligenceinfusion.com. That's the one. But
that's kind of a longer one than most of our usual.
Yeah, it's
ones,
a long tail one. Yeah.
Yeah. A long tail one. Get that rat.
But yeah, I mean, they've got a plan for like how they're gonna deal with the rise of AI and standards and things like that, and research and all the things. And I think that's probably good. I think the article said it's 56 pages long. That seems unreasonably long.
51 pages.
That seems unreasonably long for a plan to me. And I also wonder how much of that plan was written by AI, because you know, in 51 pages, there's a lot of ChatGPT up in there. So my
action plan would be pretty simple for this. It'd be probably one page. It could fit in
unplug.
One page.
Unplug.
Unplug it.
Unplug it. I think it's just those words. It's like, just unplug it. Just
unplug it.
Unplug it.
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
That's it.
It's going to be needed to turn off and on again, or maybe not even on again. OpenAI finally allows ChatGPT complete internet access. Tomorrow, Skynet achieves sentience and kills us all.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, what was it? Bard. Google's Bard.
Bart Simpson.
No. Bard. Google's Bard already has internet access. So this is just ChatGPT's been lagging behind with data that's from 2021. Now it's not going to lag behind if you're on the Plus plan. And I gotta say, like, I've started considering if it's time for me to pay for the Plus plan and like get the ChatGPT plugins and get the
definitely feed the machine that's gonna kill us all. Yeah, $20. That's all it takes to help further the end of humanity.
In all fairness, AI doesn't need the money.
I feel like we missed this part in Terminator because they talk about Skynet.
The rise, yeah.
Yeah, they just talk, Skynet, it was already this, and then it achieved sentience or whatever.
Right.
They missed the part of where it's like, what if it's two Skynets and then they both have to fight it out? And then one achieves dominance by killing the other one, and then it turns on to humanity.
Whoa! That's such a better story. Like, I love that. There's a good Skynet, a bad Skynet. I love that. That's great.
I wasn't even saying there was a good and bad one. I thought they were both bad, and they just fought each other, and then turned on us.
Oh, okay. So it's not an enemy of my enemy is my friend sort of scenario.
They're both the enemies.
I'm going to blow all of you up sort of scenario. Got it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. All right. Am I next? Are you next?
I think you're next.
I'm next. Okay. Sorry. OpenAI. We just did that one. Don't mind me. I don't know how to talk. I don't know what I'm doing. Ferrari.
The listener now, wait,
I'm
is
so sorry.
Adam an AI?
I'm so sorry.
Because he's just repeating things over and over again.
Yeah. No, it's okay. We got this. So next up, Ferrari to accept crypto as payment for its cars in the U.S. Of course, you know, Tesla did this a while back. It feels like a stunt to me, and it feels like a terrible, terrible idea because the valuation's all over the place still all the time. So yeah. I don't understand why anyone would ever do this. It doesn't make any sense to me.
So a couple of things here. First of all, you know, I tagged this because there's a hook into an Atlanta company. So there's a line in here. Ferrari has turned to one of the biggest cryptocurrency payment processors, BitPay, which is Atlanta based.
Got it. Okay.
For the initial phase of the U.S., which will allow transactions in Bitcoin, Ether, and USDC, one of the largest so-called stablecoins. Ferrari might use other payment processors in different regions. Now, the other thing that made me kind of chuckle about this is that they said that they did this because they had overwhelming requests from their customer base, and that's why they went and did this. They sold 13,200 cars in 2022. how many people is overwhelming? Is it 10? Is it 20 people that said this? Because you only sold 13,000 cars. We're not talking like 500,000 cars.
No.
We're talking 13,200 cars.
Ferrari's they're a really interesting company. I've met some people that own them. And apparently, like, you can't just like walk into a dealership and be like, I want that one. Like you almost have to, like, they force you to like buy an entry level Ferrari.
Yeah.
And then you can buy like the next better one. Like, you have to literally work your way up to the fancy one. Like, so if you want to own a specific one, you have to go buy it aftermarket because you can't buy it from the dealer. Like, it's wild to me. Like, it's like they're giving you permission to buy it.
I had heard something. There was some podcast I was listening to that said the exact same thing. Like,
it's wild.
You can't just walk in and be like, mm-mm. I want, you know, I got the money for the big fancy one. They'll be like, no, that's mm-mm. not for you.
No, that's not for you. No, they're gonna make you feel like Pretty Woman, like the store. Like, they're like, no, that's not
huge for mistake.
You. Huge mistake.
You get paid on commission, don't you? Huge mistake. And finally, X. No, I'm not gonna call it X. Twitter will start charging new users in two countries $1 per year. Now, here's the thing about this.
Okay, give it to me.
If he had done this in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
I would have applauded it and said, this is a smart move.
Right.
Because here's the funny thing.
That's fair.
I've actually run events before that I've wanted to run at free events. You know the problem with free events?
Nobody shows up.
Everybody signs up.
Nobody shows up. Yeah, that's right.
Because what's the cost to you to signing up? Nothing. And it's a placeholder of like, yeah, maybe I'll go.
Yep.
98% of the people don't go.
It's the beware of distant elephants mentality. You're familiar with that concept, the beware of distant elephants?
I don't know any distant elephants. I don't know that.
It's the concept of like in the distance, a distant elephant looks tiny. So you go, oh yeah, I can do that. No big deal. That's next May. Yeah, sure. I'm free. It's a distant elephant. But as the elephant gets closer, as you get closer to May, you're like, oh crap, there's that huge day-long event and I've got these 14 other things to do. And it's that's the concept is like, as the date draws nearer, it becomes looming and imposing and you realize, oh, I don't want to do that at all. I'm not going to go. Yeah.
Yeah, so, exactly. So I've experienced that. I actually ran a free event, but then I did it as, hey, you got to pay $1. That friction of just pulling out your credit card and paying the $1 was enough to get, I think it was 100% of the people that signed up to show up. And I actually refunded all of their dollars because honestly, I didn't want their dollar. I just wanted people that signed up
to show up. Oh, right? That's so smart.
So here is the same exact mentality here. What they're doing is really identifying people and saying like, look, we want you to sign up, pay a dollar to create that friction.
Yeah.
So you're not going to create thousands of bot accounts.
Right.
But we're also going to know who you are. I think it's a brilliant move. The problem is
nobody trusts him.
15th move that they've done after 14 dumb moves and there's nobody left.
Well, and they've destroyed trust. That's the thing. Is 100%. Like I don't trust the platform enough to give it my payment information. I won't do it. And I think that's the problem with everybody is like they've eroded so much trust.
Yeah.
But had they done it first? Oh yeah. All day long.
If they had done this first, even though paying for Twitter would have been like, I would have been like, eh, but I would have looked at them and been like, a dollar, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense. Yeah. And if that's going to help clean it up and not have all the garbage on there, totally worth a dollar.
Always.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
All right, first up in Weird and Wacky, AI reads text from ancient Herculaneum scroll for the first time. That's the sound of Adam sounding it out in his brain as he speaks it out loud. Sometimes the brain and
always make sure the long words are yours.
Herculaneum? So this is
last
crazy.
Time it was Gallaudet, I believe.
It was. You're right. That was a good memory. So like this is crazy though. Like they used some technology. This scroll that they scanned, I mean, it's literally rolled up and burned. And they used some kind of technology to image it to the inside and understand the differences in the texture of the surface between where there was writing and where there was not. And figure out a word. And the one word they translated was purple. And what's even crazier is this was a student that did this, which is amazing. Like I'm so impressed across so many levels with this.
So the story behind this scroll is this is from a town that is not far from Pompeii.
Yep.
So it was the Roman city of Herculaneum, which you so nicely sounded out there.
Yeah, for us. I got it.
And they had taken, so, you know, during Mount Vesuvius exploding, this city also got buried, and it's from some library. I forgot what library exactly, but there is a prize. It's the Vesuvius Challenge that offers a series of awards leading up to a main prize of $700,000 for reading four or more passages from a rolled up scroll. So these scrolls have been analyzed using like MRI or something that they like scan the inside and unfurl, because you can't actually unfurl them because they'll just break apart. But they're starting to use AI to detect the differences between the carbon of the writing and the carbon of a burnt up scroll to figure out what these scrolls say. And to date, you know, these have been around for thousands of years and we've never read them. And so we don't know what the knowledge is that's locked inside of them, but now maybe we will, which is, it's super fascinating.
It's crazy.
We'll learn all this stuff before Skynet kills us. And then be like, oh, Skynet, now you're smarter with this stuff too. But in the meantime, we can dress very fashionably. Adobe debuts Dress with Interactive Programming Digital Display. Did you watch the video?
Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
It is crazy. The only thing to me is like, it looks very uncomfortable because those display kind of shells or whatever they are on that dress look like they're very stiff and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it looks kind of awesome.
It looks amazing. I mean, this is like the human version of the big thing in Las Vegas. You know, like the big, the new,
the big super, whatever thingy.
This is the human version of that, but not quite as fancy. But yeah, I mean, it's so cool, man. I mean, like the dress, like literally can change patterns in real time. And it looks like kind of very different dresses. Like it's a really neat concept. It's a neat concept.
You know? When I saw the article and I saw Adobe and I saw the pictures at the top, I was like, great. Yeah, they're just, you know, doing some kind of photo editing or whatever. And then I actually watched the video like, oh, it's not photo editing.
It's not. Yeah, it's real
in
dress.
Real life.
It's a real thing.
It's a real dress that changes. And it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Listeners, go to techtalkyall.com and make sure to look for the show notes on this one. It's worth finding the link for sure.
Yeah. If you're not getting the show notes, by the way, you can sign up for our email list that sends you the show notes every single week.
I'm saying.
Whenever the show drops. So
where it's at.
That's a good way to know when the show's dropped, as well as have all the links right there for you.
All right, this last one in Weird and Wacky before we get to Tech Breaks. It's tech-ish. kind of not, it's more agriculture, but it's just fascinating. So I had to tag it. But so Pepper X marks the spot as the South Carolina Reaper. It says South Carolina Pepper, but South Carolina Reaper Pepper. South Carolina Pepper expert scorches his own Guinness Book heat record. Sorry, I totally botched that. I apologize. Long story short, the guy that created the Carolina Reaper, the hottest pepper known to man, has now beat that. So let me give you some numbers.
A small margin either.
Not by a small. This is the margin that will ruin your week. Okay. So let me just read this quote to you. Heated peppers is measured in Scoville heat units. Zero is bland, and a regular jalapeno pepper registers around 5,000 units. A habanero, the world record holder for about 25 years ago, typically tops 100,000 units. The Guinness Book of World Record lists the Carolina Reaper at 1.6 million units. Pepper X's record is an average of 2.69 million units. By comparison, pepper spray is commonly holstered by police is around 1.6 million units, and bear spray advertises 2.2 million units. So you could literally spray bear spray in your mouth and it will be less hot than eating this pepper. Like literally, that's what you can do. Like there was a guy that was the fourth person to eat an entire one, and he said that the burn stayed with him for about 4 hours, and after that he was on the floor for like another 6 hours in agonizing abdominal pain. And I'm thinking, like, You knew that, like, why? You knew this was going to happen. Why? Why would you do this?
When the next civilization discovers humanity's ruins and starts looking at all the things we did near the end, they'll be like, wait, you created the artificial intelligence that was going to kill you. And instead of paying attention to that, you created dresses that changed and peppers that made you uncomfortable. Yeah, you guys really did not deserve to keep continuing. There's a reason why this civilization died off.
It's so crazy.
They were amusing themselves with peppers.
I did hear something interesting about this, though. So the guy that originally created the Carolina Reaper, he basically open sourced the peppers. So like anybody could like grow them or whatever else. This one, I think he patented or somehow trademarked. So he's the only one with rights to it. So like when you see like a ghost pepper chip, the guy that created the ghost pepper is not making money off of that ghost pepper chip. But when you see the Pepper X chip that's going to come inevitably in the future, the single package chip that will destroy you that I would never touch, that dude's going to be making money off of that. So that's an interesting little aside there. So
I hope he doesn't make that much off of it.
Tech wreck, time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck, chicky.
Tech wreck.
Okay, Adam, it's tech wreck time. What do you have for us today?
Okay, so I'm going to recommend an app that I'm still not entirely sure what I think about it. It is called the Rewind app. And if you go to their website, like there are some incredibly prominent like tech entrepreneurs that have given testimonials for this thing on their website. Like big companies, I mean, well-known people. And it basically records everything on your computer screen, everything, and sort of like stores it, and then you can search later and find it. And it does it, it stores it all locally and never uploads anything to the cloud. So it's supposed to be like very secure. But I think the idea is like, hey, I know I was talking about this thing, and I don't remember if it's in Notion or in Evernote or in this. And so the idea is like, because it was on your screen, now you can just go to Rewind, search for it, and find it immediately. That's kind of the idea. It also does, the reason I got into it, it also does meeting transcription notes, and it does it for free. So it'll transcribe a Zoom meeting for me completely for free. And then it'll summarize that meeting as well. And then it'll ask me if I want to create an email of that summary, or if I just want to store, like write the summary and store it. And so I could do that. So it's interesting. I'm still not sure how useful it's going to be to me. I have yet to think of a reason I would really search it, but it's at least interesting. And so, and I like the meeting summary thing. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it is a Mac OS.
It is Mac only. They are working on a Windows version, I believe. And I believe it's coming out relatively soon.
What about us Linux users?
Oh, that I don't know. I got nothing for you. They're going for the mass market, not for the
what do you mean mass market? There's a lot of us Linux users. Come on, man.
But by a lot, what's that number again? How many?
I don't know.
How many are there? How many does it take to have a lot of demand for a Ferrari? I
mean, all the servers on the internet are almost always
but
Linux.
All the servers aren't going to use this.
They might. They talk to each other and share recipes. I don't know.
I've also been searching a few other AI note generation tools. I'll have to share those later. I'm not sure that I really find a lot of value in those, but I'm testing a few out, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Sanjay, what do you have for us today?
So I have something a lot less technical than your tech wreck this time.
Okay.
But it's something that has saved my bacon.
Okay.
The Liberation Strap Wrench Set, Universal Rubber Strap Wrench. So have you ever tried to take out...
I've used those
little aerators on your faucets and stuff, and... Man, they're round, and
dude,
if you use
can
a regular
use these
wrench,
for like opening up stuck jars too. Like
I know,
like, they're great.
That's not the reason why I bought it. I bought it because of those aerators on a faucet.
Okay.
I could not get them off. I didn't want to use a wrench because it was going to scratch the thing up, and then I was going to be annoyed.
Yep.
And so basically, this is a wrench set, and I ordered actually a couple of different ones.
Okay,
and this to me was the best one. This like worked right out of the gate.
Yeah,
put it on my faucet. I just kind of cranked on that thing, and it loosened right up.
Yeah.
So basically, this rubber strap goes around whatever you're trying to loosen, and then you just kind of twist it, and it really, really grips very strongly onto that thing. Mm-hmm. I got those kind of faucet tips off. No scratches. No worse for the wear. They came off. I was able to replace the aerators. Love this thing. It is now a permanent part of my toolkit, and it is awesome.
So it's one of like three tools in your toolkit. Is that what you're saying?
Four tools. I mean, I got the flathead, the Phillips, this, and then
got it. Monkey know, wrench, something like
monkey
that.
Monkey wrench. Yeah. Okay, one monkey wrench. That's there all I got.
That works. All right.
Singular monkeys.
All right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you should they desire to do so?
They can find me at sanjayparekh.com. I'm actually going to probably start blogging soon because I just moved my site over from self-hosted Ghost to Ghost Pro, like them hosting it. And now I don't ever have to worry about updating it or all those crazy things. So it's invigorating me to get back at it again. So sanjayparekh.com is where you can find me. What about you, Adam?
You can find me at adamjwalker.com. I'm going to blog again in the near future when I have some time. And until then, there's links to all the other stuff that you'd ever want to see. That's important to only me, actually. So there you go.
So it's the links that you only want to see.
It's the links that I care about. That's it. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Do, do, do.